Okay, it is approximately 7 o'clock, and I will call the common council to order for May 10th, 2012. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did you put that chair on over there?
No, didn't touch it.
Roll call, please.
No, I did not.
Weagle.
Here.
Warren.
Here.
Romine.
Here.
Bernard.
Here.
Here.
Okay, in front of you is the minutes from April 24th, our last common council meeting. Were there any changes?
I do have a change.
Okay.
I don't remember which one was which, but under the, where it says ordinance 2012-3, 2012-4.
Yes.
Both of them say cemetery. One of them I thought was on the park.
Good catch, because I didn't even catch that. I was off my game this week, sorry. I believe number four is actually parks. Thank you for catching that one. Additional changes or omissions? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
I move that we accept the minutes from Tuesday, April 24th, 2012, council meeting with the correction made by Ben Romine.
Second.
Okay, motion by Nicole, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up is the ordinance number 2012-9. This is a new ordinance in front of us today. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
Ordinance 2012-9, an ordinance amending Chapter 56, illicit discharge in connection to the municipal stormwater system, and Title 5 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbus, Indiana.
Okay, this ordinance is addressing a couple issues that we found in the actual ordinance. Jeff or Marcia, do you guys want to talk a little bit about that?
I guess I could start and then kick it over to legal. But what we found, Council, was that in checking out our collection system, there appeared to be what we would say were illicit discharges based off of how we had interpreted the ordinance. And when I brought it to the mayor and legal counsel, we got to looking closely at our existing ordinance and realized that the interpretation was kind of up for grabs. It wasn't real clean and succinct. And as Marcia started investigating it, we found that when this ordinance was established back at the beginning of our Stormwater Rule 13 program requirements back in, I think it was 2005, that the national U.S. EPA template was used. And it's a great starting point, but what EPA likes for us to do, each community, is to take that as a boiler and tweak it to meet our individual needs and conditions. And essentially, that's what we're doing now. It was something that we had just incorporated as it existed at that point, and it obviously needed to be molded to our existing community conditions. And as Marcia started looking around, that's what many of the communities have done now, is once they've developed the program and understand it better, they're going back and reviewing these. And so it was a few minor issues to make sure that the ambiguities were taken out of it, and it's easier to enforce and for the public to understand the compliance. Marcia, that's about you.
Yeah, pretty good summary. I don't know that I have actually anything additionally to add unless you have questions.
I guess in reading this, I had a question. In Section 1, Part B, where it's changed, you know, on connections that were previously allowed or permitted, those are, from what I read this, are now not allowed.
That is correct.
Is there a way we're going to notify those individuals, or is it just as you find them, or?
What we'll have to do is as we find them. Coincidentally, if you read the Post and Mail tonight, there's an article about South Whitley doing smoke testing of their system. And that's exactly what they're doing, is trying to find this specific thing. The mayor and I have talked that eventually we'll need to do that same thing, to identify the illicit discharges. It's a matter of education, quite honestly, and hopefully through articles, both in the newspaper, our website, and as we come across them. What I've found also is that Kelly and I both need to work at probably a more public relation-oriented approach as we find them, to explain and educate. And honestly, I don't mean to use this as an excuse, but this is still a new program for us. So we continue to develop and enhance as we're going along.
But. And Jeff, you need to help me a little bit on this, but Ben, I actually don't know that it is prohibiting anything else. I think this is a clarification of what the city already perceived to have been prohibited.
Okay.
And an illicit discharge. I mean, so I think that what this is doing is trying to clarify what was already assumed to have been an illicit discharge. So it is not actually an additional prohibition.
No, this isn't a tighter. No, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure that was understood. It's so the education part of what was originally assumed to have been illicit is more.
Okay. So what do you consider an illicit discharge?
Anything that could potentially be have contamination introduced to it.
Yeah.
Your perimeter tile that would go down to a sump pump instead of out onto the ground would be in violation of this.
Okay.
Any downspouts that would go into a sump pump. Any type of an open pump that would discharge out into our system would be an illicit discharge as well. Give me, you've obviously got something in mind.
I was more concerned about the downspouts. I mean, I know of a couple places where people have downspouts running into the ground. I'm not sure where the tile goes because it was there when they bought the house.
If it goes directly to our collection, it's in violation.
So where can they run those to?
Onto the ground. They just take it to the top of the ground instead of piping it.
Or for instance, where I live, the pipe does go into the ground, but then it discharges out about, 20 feet from the house out. So it goes down and then back up and out onto the ground. So that's this whole process, just for our friends in the audience and our press friends, the reason for to have this kind of ordinance is to make sure that we're keeping that we're discharging clean rainwater through our stormwater system and eliminating stuff going into our sewer that doesn't need to be going into our sewer.
We have an obligation to IDEM to monitor everything that enters our collection system directly.
Okay.
And that's from the streets, the curbs, the curb guttering, that type of thing. The particular one that we had was piped directly to our catch basin from the sump pump down the basement. The point is that anything could enter that pump pit down their basement. They could spill, turpentine or something, mm-hmm. and hose it into the pit, and it pumps right out to our collection system and into the Blue River.
And this is just the stormwater, not the actual.
Well, this was going. They were using it as a discharge that he claimed was stormwater, but the thing is, it still allows for an introduction of contamination. There's a potential there. And it's every other community that we've looked at is the same thing, Ben, that if you've got a sump pit, you pump it up to the ground and discharge it on your ground.
Well, and again, this is just an amendment of what we've already had in place. I mean, so if you go back and you look at the ordinance, this is just a clarification of that we are required to have in place to begin with.
Well, I'm just trying to make sure I'm not in violation. Because my cell phone pumps into the drain.
Pumps into the drain.
The sewer drain.
Then you're in violation. And you would have been in violation
previously. Based on, yeah. Yeah.
So does the building inspector not aware of that?
No, the building has he been out to inspect it
or
something?
Yeah, it's been inspected.
Yeah. I don't know whether he's compelled to inspect that or not, but yeah.
Your sump goes into the sanitary or storm?
Is it going to a storm?
But if it's a sump pump, it still needs to discharge to the
sump pump that I have in my basement goes up.
Right.
Hooks into the drain that, you know, the sewage drain.
Yeah, you would need to disconnect that. But you would have been in violation before.
You mean the sanitary sewage, not the stormwater.
Right.
The sanitary sewage.
Sump pumps can't be connected, period.
No, to the sanitary sewage.
Yeah. Yeah, what Jeff is saying is that sump pumps are not supposed to be connected to it. I mean, they're supposed to all discharge onto the ground. They're not supposed to be connected either to the sanitary sewer or the stormwater.
But if that sump pump is a sewer sump pump, then it has to go into the sewage.
I don't know that. If you're talking like a grinder pump.
Right.
That's sanitary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But there's a difference between a sewage grinder pump and a sump pump.
Right.
Yeah.
Are
just a sump pump, like all, like the toilets and everything go through it and then up to the...
Now this is in the basement.
That's a grinder pump.
What Nicole's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you would have to connect to the sanitary.
We have to have that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just for the water to keep the water out of the basement. Oh. It's not hooked to the heat.
That's an illegal discharge.
It's still an illegal discharge.
So am I just supposed to bore through the concrete then to get it out?
It's being pumped up right now. You just take it above the ground level and discharge it out onto the ground. Is what you would do.
I didn't feel to come out and look at it.
There's a couple of houses in our neighborhood that if you drive by them, you know, when it's been raining or whatever, and they have pipes coming out of their house, and the water just pours out of those pipes. And I think that's the kind you're talking about, but you just need to make it so it pours out onto the ground instead of...
Yeah.
I think there's going to be quite a few.
Because I know more than one that have connected the way mine's connected.
And Jeff and I have talked about this. And I mean, again, we're being forced to do this. Let's just be clear about that. But more importantly is that as we, like Jeff said, we're talking about in the future doing smoke testing. And again, this is something that a lot of communities are doing. In fact, in my previous job, that was something that was a part of different projects. But long story short on that is that we know that there are a lot of houses that are hooked up to directly connected in that way, in some way, shape, or form. And so I know that Jeff's been, I mean, at least toying with the idea of how we're going to go about doing that. But that is probably down the road. It's not something that's going to happen like next week or probably even this year, but it is something that we're going to look at down the road. So I think probably, I'm guessing what your question is, Ben, is how do we help inform individuals that they need to be moving that way? Is that kind of what you're leaning on?
Well, I think a lot of people aren't aware that what they have is against the ordinance.
Yeah. And it's not like that, you know, we're going to be the sump pump Nazis and go out right now.
No, I understand that, but...
Except for Ben Romine's.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Now that we all know.
And,
we'll be there.
And honestly, I mean, this goes way beyond, you know, the Clean Water Act and our stormwater. Ben, every time that you discharge rainwater into the sanitary system, it's costing wastewater extra to treat stormwater. You and everybody else. And I'm not, I mean, that's just how everybody used to be set up. And communities are realizing how expensive it is to treat stormwater that shouldn't be treated in the first place. We just got done with a $7.5 million project know, to capture that first flush. And so it really does have residual effect. Well, it is called first flush. It's not a good term. It goes way beyond just the stormwater, though. And
what does smoke testing do?
Find the connection points.
Does it send smoke back in?
When the people come running out of their house and say, I got smoke coming out of my basement.
Well, yeah, basically you pump smoke through, is it through the catch basin or through the manhole?
Yeah,
through the catch basin.
Through the structure.
And then it finds its way through the different pipes, and you can usually tell. So for instance, if my downspouts are connected directly to the system, we're going to start seeing smoke coming out of those downspouts. So,
you might even see your smoke coming out of the ground, too.
Yeah.
Through a base, well, and that's a, I mean, I've seen it done, but maybe Jeff can talk a little bit more about that in regards to the smoke testing and, like, sump pumps and basements and that kind of stuff. Do the communities usually, like, warn the homeowners ahead of time?
Yeah, there's notification process. You can't do large areas at
yeah,
a time.
Right.
It's going to be quadrant. Really.
A couple of houses at a time.
It's going to take a while to do.
Oh, yeah.
You just follow Tom around when he gets a call to smoke in the house.
Yeah.
That's actually, he's got a unit that you can pump. Remember I talked to you about doing...
Pump smoke into the...
Oh, the, yeah. We have a theatrical smoke machine.
Yeah.
So what's the advised approach to getting water away from your house, then? I mean, if you can't... I mean, how are people supposed to drain...
To extend it on up to ground level and dump it out onto the ground. You're pumping it already.
Where I live, I kind of sit in a hole. So all the water from the 4-H ground kind of runs in my front yard. So I can't. So if I'm dumping all the water from my roof into my front yard, I'm going to have a lake.
Where's your backyard lower even?
Yeah.
Where does it drain?
Into a sump pump.
Well,
maybe I shouldn't have.
That's the reason I put a sump in, was to get the water out of it. The foundation was deteriorating.
Yeah. I can't answer it for you. I mean, maybe it's something that Kelly and I can come out and take a look at.
Yeah.
Or a contractor.
If I'm just asking. I mean,
yeah.
If we can't, I mean, some people, if they dump it out on the, I mean, they're just have water standing everywhere.
Yeah. I can use the same language that our inspectors use on our jobs when they're talking to contractors, that, you know, here's the requirement, and it's not up to us to tell you the ways and means to accomplish it. But I won't be that cruel. I don't have all the answers yet, so it's something that we'll have to look through.
Some of that too, it's interesting that they can run the sump pump out, but there's no distance of how far it has to be from the catch basin. I mean, what's
well,
the
I have a catch basin in my backyard, so.
You do
but
have a catch?
I have an old brick one.
Well, where does that go?
I don't work.
But I think the reasoning behind, I mean, obviously not having a hose connected directly from that into the catch basin, but I think the thinking, if you will, is that if there are solids or if there's any, you know, I don't know, but anyways, as it travels across the grass, that it will absorb or it will cleanse or that kind of stuff. Not that it would do the whole thing, but I think that's kind of the thinking behind putting it onto the land before it goes into, you know, catch basins or whatever.
And additionally, the system is not sized to take all that in. It's supposed to be the impervious public right-of-way stuff. And so when you start having private properties pump into the system, you're causing an overcapacity issue in your system. So you pump it across the grass, part of it at least will hook down in, and some of it will reach there, but not all of it.
Okay. Any other questions or comments or discussion about the ordinance or any other things? Okay, then can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we pass ordinance number 2012-9 on first reading.
I second.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up, we have ordinance number 2012-7. Could I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, a motion by Ben, seconded by Dan. All those, oh, sorry, any further questions or discussions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Read by title only. Sorry.
This says next.
Gotcha. Sorry.
Let's go ahead. Two readings.
Ordinance 2012-7, an ordinance establishing rates and charges for the use and services rendered by the waterworks of the City of Columbia City and repealing ordinances inconsistent herewith.
Should be noted that Chapter 52 of our ordinances, Section 01, will be impacted by this, and that basically is just the actual charges. So that wasn't mentioned in the actual title, but for the notes, or excuse me, for the minutes purposes, just wanted to mention that. If in this ordinance, and I will kind of let Rosie and Mike here talk a little bit about it, but as you can see, as you well know, we've been going through our rate adjustment currently. We finally landed, if you will, in an agreement with the OUCC and the IURC, and I believe that percentage was 33.06, I think. 08. Thank you. And so that would be the increase. We started off at 43.44%, and we worked with the OUCC, and we've gotten it down to a little over 33% increase. Now, again, as we know, the increase is mainly because of the fact that our water utility has been running in the negative for a little while now due to decrease in usage. So with that, Rosie or Mike, would you guys like to say anything about the ordinance itself?
The only thing I'd like to say is this will be up for public hearing at the next meeting, and it's published in the paper already for the 22nd. So all this is actually the first reading to get on the table for the public hearing.
The only thing I got to say is I wish it happened a year ago.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and I do want to commend Mike and his guys. They've been working real hard under pretty strenuous conditions, if you will, in regards to financial conditions. So I know that they are anxious for this, and I think rightfully so. So questions and discussions about the ordinance in front of you.
About the actual ordinance, the water rate itself.
Could be about either. Whatever you'd like to talk about.
First of all, I want to thank Mike. I spent an hour with him yesterday morning, I guess it was. And after I talked to you, I went back and went through the financials again. I did have a question for you. What's the difference between the gallons produced and the gallons billed? And is there, you know, that rate, the variance there seems to be increasing.
Yeah.
Is that from water lost in leaks, or?
Yeah, what's lost in leaks when we flush hydrants, what's used for fires or sweeping the streets, anything that's not actually being metered, that's, you know, most of it is contributed to leaks.
Because that percentage is up to almost 20%.
Yeah. It's high, a little higher than what it used to be. We're going to do another round of large meter testing. Sometimes you'll find a large meter that's off or something, and a lot of times you can gain some of that back in that. But it's just, you know, you try to keep it below 15% is where you try to keep it. But
okay. I wasn't sure what normal was. It had just gone from little over 8% in 2005 to 18 point something in 2011.
Mike, I wonder how much of that, you know, obviously we had the major leak that we found over in regards to the sewer project. Do you think that that had an impact? I mean, that was a huge amount of gallonage.
That's probably included in those figures. Yeah. I mean, when we figured what we lost that time, we took that much out of our figure.
Right.
But probably in the total figure that's showing up, that's probably in there, yeah.
Yeah, and that was... I don't remember the actual number, but it was
close to 18 million gallons.
18 million gallons we lost in one, yeah, and we're still kind of working on that issue right now. But I would assume that probably is a part of the spike in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean we always, you know, every time that there's a water main break, every time there's a, you know, leaks like that they find and they have to dig it up. You know, that's all water that was produced but not billed.
And if I understood you correctly from yesterday morning, had we done this or some of the projects in this, what we're looking at doing, we wouldn't have had people without water Sunday afternoon.
That leak we had Sunday, the loop we got planned to go from 100 South Eagle Glen would have kept Eagle Glen and Irish Glen with water. But, you know, since that loop's not there yet, they had to go an hour and a half without water Sunday. Yeah, and also where that leak was at is part of what's going to be replaced in 2013 when the gateway to the city gets done. That's going to be part of that's going to be replaced at that time too. But
you mean the 205 project? By
yeah.
That? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, I know something else that all of us have kind of put our heads together is how can we grow our usage, because obviously growing our usage, we're able to spread out our costs a little bit more. I'm assuming that has also a large, you know, when you have water usage decreasing, you know, obviously having less people using that water, that probably is also a part of, I mean, that's a large part of everything that you guys are handling and dealing with when it comes to the, you know, the increase, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You just like since the hospital relocated, their usage is down almost 50% from what it was, you know, 2 years ago.
Wow.
Because of the new low-flow fixtures and everything, you know. So it's just all your new fixtures and stools and everything just use less water that, you know.
And again, it's great for those businesses. It just for us as a business providing that service, it obviously is difficult for us to try to, I guess, take in those costs.
I guess when I'm looking at, you know, you're saying a 33% increase on average, put that in a dollar figure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what is that for average? Yeah.
It's a $1.57 every thousand on the minimum rate.
I mean, I know that varies. Okay.
Yeah, it's and that's a very good point, Dan. Saying 33% increase can be a little scary once we really break it down. I think it ends up for 2,000 gallons. I think it ends up being a couple of bucks, $1, $2, $3, if I remember correctly. And then for the average, the 5,000 gallons. I think it's like 5, 6, 7, something like that.
Jumped 2 to 8, and it went down.
Yeah, the increase is right there. So, well, that's enough per gallonage. Right. So, actually, I think it's only.
I think the average user is probably at least from 5 to 6. I mean, more than 4, like they like a year ago. I don't know where they got that number, but
it's about $1.50. It's $1.57 for 2,000 gallons. That's per gallonage, I believe.
And the question one person had when they were up here was, with the rate going up on the water, will the rates go up on the sewer? Because aren't they connected to somebody?
Yeah, and the answer is no. This will only affect the water. While your sewage is billed off of your water consumption, the actual sewer rates will not be impacted.
Because the consumption will change unless you... increase your consumption.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, the consumption is still in your hands.
So I'm still looking here at...
Well, and keep in mind that that's per one,
first
2,000 gallons and then the next, yeah.
Adjusted current.
So like I said, I mean, for a household of two that probably uses somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 gallons, we're only talking a couple of bucks. If we're, and I don't want to be callous and say only a couple of bucks, but understand that, you know, we are continually providing great service with clean water, consistent water. We've, you know, the water main break at 30 and 205 there, again, it was only out for an hour and a half, and, you know, there's a lot of other cities that it would have been out for multiple hours, but our whole water department came out that day and made sure that that got taken care of in a quick manner. And I heard a lot of wonderful comments about how quickly it was turned back on, Mike. So your guys have a lot to be proud of.
I guess that's like
saying,
I'm just looking at
actual dollars.
Actual dollars, because percentages drive me crazy.
Yeah, I understand that.
I think it's good to point that out, because a lot of people look at their whole bill from the city and think the whole bill is going to go up 33%.
And that isn't
not just the line that says water.
And that is a great point, Nicole. I appreciate you bringing that up. Is that this rate adjustment will not change. Will not affect the whole bill. It will only affect the water portion, which is why we're talking about a couple of dollars for 2,000 gallon users. For, like I said, 5,000 gallon users, that, let's say, the average household, we're talking probably $5 to $7 in that range. So, it's not affecting the whole bill. Electric is not being affected. Wastewater, stormwater, none of those are being impacted. Just the water.
How will since the rate increase was decreased to 33%, how does that affect the amount of the bond?
Yeah, with the percentage being decreased from that 44 or whatever percent down to the 33%, how will that affect financial bond issue, all that kind of stuff?
It's still going to cover all the obligations we have. I mean, they took all the, you know, past bonds and predicted jobs we're going to do, and combined all that together to make sure everything's still going to be met. So, should not be an issue.
Buzz, of course, who is our financial consultant for water, has said that this increase will be able to continue. Will keep revenues up while also be able to pay off our long-term debt, including the additional debt if the council decides to go that route.
And the way I see this, I might be wrong, so correct me if I am, in order for us to keep maintaining this as our utility, we need to raise these rates so that we are in control of this, utility.
Yeah.
If we don't do this, then we're running in the red all the time, and another company such as, what's the one in Fort Wayne, Aquasource, can come in and take over our utility.
Well, that's
worst case scenario.
Just as a side story, not that I like to go do that, but when I was campaigning, one of the things that people heard about me, and I don't know where they heard about it, but heard about me, was that I was going to privatize the utilities, and that by no means is ever in my mind. I think we have wonderful utilities. I think we do a pretty good job of keeping down costs, and for that reason, that's why this is needed. You're absolutely right in that. You know, if we consistently stayed in the negative, for instance, our State Board of Accounts audit for this year, our exit conference. One of the things they mentioned was the water department running in the red, and how if that would consistently happen, it could show, you know, basically financial mismanagement, not mismanagement,
technically,
but yeah.
We cannot run departments in the red, and they knew we were in the process of filing for this, so they didn't write us up for it. But if it was a case that we weren't doing anything, then the city would definitely.
Yeah. And it should be noted that, for instance, like Indianapolis, their water system is privatized, and I think, if I heard correctly, they're going to be going through a fairly good water rate adjustment.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you privatize it, some other company comes in and takes it over, then we have no control.
No control. And they can get another good example of that is Wabash and Warsaw and Indiana American Water, who again, privately owned company, who establishes their water rates for those different communities. Throughout all of Indiana, Indiana American Water are going through a tremendous rate increase where everyone's kind of basically going to be about the same level. And so you have people in places like Lafayette, places in Wabash that are very different in population size, paying somewhere near the same rate. So I think it's a threat. And I think, if we can continue to have local control here in the city, we can continue to have control over the rates. So instead of the rates jacking up, 150%, which in frankly in some communities with these private companies, that's what happens.
You read stuff about it all the time. Mm-hmm. This is close enough to us that it's in the Fort Wayne paper.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I appreciate that point. That's a very good point. As a part of our role as leaders in this community, as elected leaders in this community, we are in charge of the fiscal health of each of our departments as well as the fiscal health of our utilities. And with that being the case, I think, obviously this is a needed adjustment for the fiscal health of our water department.
And I think it goes without being said, but I'll say it, none of us like to do this.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. We do not do this lightheartedly. Because let's face it, we all sitting at this table are all, well, except for Marcia, but but we all are going to be experiencing this water rate increase ourselves in our own pocketbooks, and that shouldn't be overlooked.
My office is in town.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So the partners will be experiencing that.
Yeah. Did your mother lives in town?
Any other questions or comments?
I was just curious. I don't know how comfortable you guys are on this. Do you feel you would like the bus to be here at the next at the public hearing?
I think it'd be helpful.
Okay.
Wow. You got that kind of money. Apparently.
Okay, hearing no other comments or questions, do I have a motion?
I move that we accept the ordinance 2012-7.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jackie on the first reading of ordinance 2012-7. Any further discussion or questions?
His jokes aren't the same in video as they are.
Okay, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Next, at the next council meeting, we will discuss those two ordinances we just went through, number 7 and number 9. 2012 for the second readings, and as Rosie did mention, we will have a public hearing that will be advertised in regards to before we take a vote on the second reading. Okay. Next up is the compliance with statement of benefits. This is something as we've done before, and we need to continue to do in order for those businesses to be able to receive. Tax abatements. So let's first go over Techmeyer Properties LLC. Rosie, I don't know how much have you kind of been the leader on this?
Yeah. If you look at where it goes down to section 3, this is where what they estimated when they actually filed their tax abatements. And then next to it is what the actual thing is right now. And so they are in compliance. And what we do is we just, if you consider them in compliance, you approve it, and then it goes on to the county so that they can get their tax abatement. And then I handed out the little sheet that shows this is actually their, they'll have two more years to go on there.
If I understood this right, this is a declining abatement, correct?
It is what?
A declining abatement each year.
Yeah, each year goes down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's what I thought of that.
this year, I think it's 20% that's left in.
For Ted Meyer?
So you need a motion to approve?
Yes, sir.
Motion to approve Ted Meyer property abatement.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Jackie. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up is Oakview Tool Company, LLC.
They are in compliance. They did not put their estimate, what they originally estimated on there. But the first one is for, this is for their personal property. And so it's really their equipment. And if you see, if you look down to what their actual equipment cost, it shows $300,000 and then the $318,000. So they are in compliance with what they anticipated.
Do we know what the numbers were?
Yeah, I can tell you.
Well, I was going to say, on the sheet that you passed out, if you look to the right, SB1 says 14 and 20. And if I'm reading this correctly, that was in 2011. Is that what this form is for, or is this for 2012?
This is for 2012.
Okay, so I'm assuming then the SB1 stated 14 and now they're at 29, if
correct.
I'm reading that correctly.
14 employees.
Yep.
Okay. And they're actually different. Salaries was estimated $500,000, and now they're at
over $1 million.
Yeah.
Why would they not fill that in?
I don't know. I think maybe they just
an oversight.
$1 million in. Yeah.
Can we send it back to them and ask them to fill it in?
I think it's
important that they.
Yeah. You mean hold up on?
If we can put this, like, table this one and ask them to send, ask them to. Complete it and then bring it back next year.
Yeah, we can. I'm not sure what the time frame is. They have to have a file in order to get this. It's May 15th. They have to have this filed. I have to have this filed with the court or the county in order for them to get their tax payment.
That's in 5 days.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're in compliance. They just missed filling that information. But I mean, they're probably going to have to do it anyway, them to file it over the courthouse. They're going to have to put that information in there anyway.
Everything we know about this is SB1, but they got the same numbers.
Can we ask them just to complete it and get it back to Rosie?
Because, see, I have their, you know, what they originally did it previously. It's all filled out. It's just that they evidently forgot to do it this time.
Can you pass that down and move it? I think we went through this before a couple years ago. Did Dan, do you remember?
Yeah,
somebody
we did the same thing. And this, I thought we approved it pending the documents being filled out appropriately.
Yeah, but didn't we have somebody come in and kind of?
Yeah, I think we weren't under the same time constraints. So.
Yeah,
right.
Well, would you like to then table this one as everyone reads it?
Yeah, and okay. We can come back to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go and we'll just move it to the end.
Yep.
Okay. Right. Okay, so we will table that to the end of the list then, and move on to Steel Tank and Fabricating Corporation.
Okay, the first one is for their personal property, and you can tell they are in compliance with what they originally submitted. There's two of them, the personal property and then the real property.
Okay.
And they're doing separate.
Okay. So the purchase and installation of the 3 15-ton cranes, that's the one. Okay.
So they are in compliance on the employees and salary section.
Uh-huh.
Do they have additional property to purchase down below?
I'm not sure what you mean.
They've got an estimated value of project is $350. Actual is $265,903.
Yeah. But I think what that is the actual property that they did purchase wasn't as much as what they anticipated. But whether you can stop them from getting the abatement because of that.
But they're still just paying the abatement on what the battery is not.
Right, yeah.
Correct.
I just didn't know if that made a lot of points.
I think it's all an estimate.
Right.
When they do SB1, yeah. It is an estimate.
I'll make a motion to approve theirs.
I'll second it.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Bill for Steel Tank and Fabricating Corporation for the personal property. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next one is the Steel Tank and Fabricating Corporation in regards to real property for the construction of a 60 by 120 fabrication building addition.
Again, if you look at their SB1 estimates and their actual, they are in compliance. They're real way over what they anticipated.
I make a motion we find Steel Tank and Fabricating Corporation in compliance on their real property.
Second.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up is Warner Electric. Real property improvements, new manufacturing equipment.
Okay. And if you look on their SB1s, they are way over what their anticipation was. And they are in compliance. The only thing that, see, this is the real property. One of them doesn't show on here.
Okay.
This only shows their, their real property. The other one will not show on here. But this one here is for.
Yeah, they have 10% this year and then 5% next year.
Yeah, and they'll be done next year, so last one.
When they estimate the number of employees, do they have to have that many employees eventually?
They don't have to, but when they submit for a tax abatement, they give you an estimate of what they're going to do. If you see they don't hire any, you can refuse it the next year.
But you could, with this one, because they estimated 91 and their actual was 68, so they, do you look at that and say, well, they're still working at it?
Yeah, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I guess I was looking at the current number of employees going from 80 to 148, so I'm not exactly sure how they separate the current number of employees from employees retained. Well, obviously, employees retained.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite understanding of why. If you rose, what, 68 employees?
Right, and that's what's on the, where it says number of additional employees estimated was 91.
So they had estimated 91 then? Is that what?
Okay. And they actually have 68.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is pretty good for business now.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we find Warner Electric in compliance with for their real property.
Second.
Motion is by Nicole, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up is another Warner Electric. And this is the one that you said would not show on the sheet. Right, Ruby? Okay, there's actually a double, at least in mine. There's a double. So then if you go to the one that's marked in resolution number on the right hand side, 2006-35, that's the one we'll be talking about. Everyone found that? Yep. Okay. Okay. So then you can see it seems to me, at least for the actual cost or the net value upon completion of the project, it's up from the estimate on the cost. Now, the assessed value is down. I don't know what to tell you about that.
I don't think they set the assessed value, so right. What they estimated the cost was going to be, mm-hmm. and they put that much money into it.
Right.
How much time is left on this one?
This is the one that won't show on here.
Is it a new one?
It was done in 06. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. So it's and typically the 10 years.
6 years. Yeah, or another 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
4 years left, yep. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Another motion.
Motion to approve the 2006 improvements abatement.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole for Warner Electric's 2006 abatement. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Has everyone had a chance to look through the Oakview Tool original? What?
I said it's held up here.
Oh, it's held up. Okay. That's fine. We can take them out.
Come to you, Rosie.
Yes.
Can you make it a policy that in the future that you get them, send them back?
I mean, I had so many of them, I just didn't really look at that one very close. I guess. Normally, they're really good about filling them in.
I'll tell you how to do your job.
I understand.
I know we've prepared none of these, but in the past, we've missed something. They've sent it back to us.
And I will make sure that somebody comes in tomorrow and fills the rest of this out.
Okay, so going back to Oakview Tool Company, are there any questions or comments on the tax abatement? Hearing none, could I have a motion?
Move that we find Oakview Tool and Company LLC in compliance with personal property.
Second.
A motion by Dan, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay, next up are department reports. Let's start with Tom.
I was going for 2 weeks, and I'm now starting to wonder why I even put myself through that. You come back and you try to play catch up, and it's been a long week. Still haven't got there. The guys did a really nice job in my absence and taking care of some major events that we had, and I'd like to commend them. The police department, us and the police department, worked very well together during that time frame, and things went pretty smooth. So it's nice to know that the guys can function without me, but trying to catch up is awful. Just a public service awareness, if we can have that put in the newspaper, would be great. A couple times a year, I normally go through our dryer bin at home and make sure that things are clean, because dryers can cause fires and do cause fires. So I, a lot of times, check our dryer bin. Today, my son and I are out in the backyard, and I had not checked it this spring yet, and I see this bird go into my dryer bin. It stuck its beak up in there, flipped the little louver up, and flew into my dryer vent. I thought, what is going on? Only to find out that he had built a very substantial nest in my dryer vent, and my wife had been complaining that the clothes weren't getting dry. I now know why. So with that being said, it might not be a bad idea just to throw it out to the public. Check your dryer vents. Clean them out. With that being said, things are going very smooth, and hopefully it continues.
We got Drew Burke. We got my Drew Burke. Yes. Yeah. Tom spent a lot of his time over at a property today getting lots and lots of timber burned. So, appreciate you being there for that.
Do you want me to address that?
You don't really need to.
Okay. So,
not that it's any secret. Any other questions of Tom? Thank you, Tom. Mike?
Pump number one for the EQ basin was reinstalled on Monday. They found out it had a couple... They removed a couple shims from it. It was one of those pumps that they had some corrosion buildup in it, and with the extra shims in it, it caused it to seize up. That's why we were having the troubles with it. That has been corrected and reset and put back in and is back in operation. Today we completed tours for the 8th grade class at Indian Springs Middle School. Between yesterday and today, we had a total of 235 students come through for a tour. We've tested our tipping buckets this week by using the computer and just starting the sequence on that and letting it run completely through and have computer complete control over it, and we just watched it. Everything on that went very well. I shot some video today of the tipping bucket that dumped. If anybody would like to see that, just let me know afterwards and I can show you that. It's about a minute long. We got a Headworks pump that... I am in the process of getting a quote to get it repaired like I did last year. The parts we had our 5-year inspection done on last year, and this one was next in line to have parts replaced on it because of wear. The guy spent some time this week cleaning up tanks from the storms we had early Monday morning. So those are just about completed. We need to finish draining the old primary tanks and washing those down. And paving from the project for the UQ basin should be completed by now. They were getting ready to start on that right around 3:30, 4 o'clock today to pave and repair the R pavement up there for where it was damaged. So that should be completed today. That's all I have. If you have questions.
Questions of Mike? Thanks, Mike. Mike?
Last week, the north and south water towers were drained and cleaned out and inspected. They did find some of the foundation legs at the north tower. The concrete is starting to deteriorate pretty good right up on the top. And then we've also got 950 feet of 12-inch main installed out for City Ford. Hopefully, we can go back here in another week or so and finish that job once the sewer line gets installed. And I think we had close to 7 shutoffs on shutoff day the first day, then about 11 more 2 days later that promised to pay but never did. So actually, later on, it's worse for us than the actual day, lately anyway. And everything at the plant's running pretty quiet and normal, so that's about it.
Question to Mike.
Just want to say thanks again for the tour yesterday.
Thank you, Mike. Jeff?
I've been reporting that the mayor and I have been working with one of our largest electric customers on some challenges that they face in maintaining a competitiveness in the market and global marketplace. And I've had asked for our assistance in trying to help them through it and find efficiencies in their usage. And we did meet, did a follow-up with them last week. Had IMPA staff up here, technical staff that actually helped walk through the plant and helped them identify where they could potentially have some pretty significant savings by installation of some capacitors. While we were there, they spoke very highly of our electric superintendent and the continued customer relationship that he's provided to them and being responsive to their inquiries over the past period. So kudos to Larry on that. Yesterday, let's see, who all went? Jackie, Kevin Snell, and Lori Shipman and I attended a workshop down in Indianapolis, hosted, put on by High Performance Government Network, and it was essentially a discussion, an extension of what the mayor has been speaking about in a comprehensive community development plan and the vision of a community. A lot of it talked about the different agencies that you might want to use as partners in this process. Also talked about your stakeholders in the process. And an emphasis was that this is, you need to look at it more than just a community plan. It needs to be a regional plan because, quite frankly, that's what we are anymore, as a region, not, you know, a little island of our own. I think I mentioned to the mayor before the meeting tonight, as much as anything, I appreciated the conversation on the way back home, because I thought that there was some really stimulating discussions about where we could go and what we could do and who we need to get engaged in the process. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of potential partners in the community. We also have to look at those sectors that might be underrepresented and can't really provide a voice or aren't asked for input. So we need to look at that as well. I feel that the mayor is definitely on the right track. We've talked about this, and a comprehensive CD plan is also required for some of the potential state funding that's out there. So, and as a matter of fact, did you see the Stellar's Community Award today?
Delphi and Princeton, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those, you have to have a comprehensive CD to be eligible. I spent the entire day today over at Fort Wayne doing my it was a long day.
It was good meeting.
my recertification that is required through NDOT and the Federal Highway Administration for its Employee of Responsible Charge, ERC, that any questions regarding the project from NDOT or Federal Highway filtered through the ERC, and it's a requirement. It's a recertification that takes place every 2 years. What I did find out is that the 500-page guidance document has changed, so I now have to break that out online and get caught up on that. And I also found out that there was some record keeping that I probably need to brush up on, and mention a little bit of it to Rosie tonight. So I'll be looking at that as well, just to maintain our compliance with that. It had nothing to do with our actual contract or project. It was strictly compliance with the Federal Highway Administration and NDOT. That's all I've got this evening.
Just thinking about the amount of hours of individuals around this area and around the United States who have to read that 500-page document, and then adding that to the hours of the individuals who actually wrote a 500-page document about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I kid you not, that's the number of pages.
Yep. No, I believe you.
I talked to the lady down at yesterday. I found out that I had registered, but I wasn't showing up in the system, so I called while I was down at the other workshop yesterday, and it's through Purdue's LTAP, Local Technical Assistance Program, is who all this goes through. And she says, well, make sure you don't print it out, because it's 500 pages. Yeah.
Okay. Questions of Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. Larry?
We had an outage at the lift station at Morsha's Park. Another one of our little furry friends created this problem. We ought to have open squirrel season in town someday. Mary, you ought to make a proclamation to have a squirrel day.
Okay. As in free shoot?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. We had 75 disconnects this month. got most of them turned back on. We had a unfortunate incident at one of our customers. Him and his dog were taking a ride and stopped the truck. And this is going to sound really fishy, but left the dog in the truck, and he was out looking around the farm. And a couple other dogs came along, and his dog in the truck got excited, threw the truck in gear, and crashed one of our transformers. So we had to replace that transformer.
Will their insurance pay for that?
He was telling me off story, and I thought that was the wildest tale I ever heard. But
that beats Kyle. Fire pit.
Yeah, that's right. We worked on some street lights, which is normal conditions that we have. We're repairing our hot spots that the Exactor has showed up. We've been working on those. Done our normal trimming. Our main thing this last month we've been working on, and the management at Holmes's has given us nothing but praise, especially our mayor showed up on the site, and they could not get over having our mayor down at their problem. I don't know if you folks have heard, it's been kind of quiet, but their whole electrical room was destroyed by fire, and Tom can testify to this because they were down there. And today, well, we went down there one other time and got a lot of things hooked back up temporarily so they could partly function. Their new equipment came in, and today we hooked them back up permanently, so things are looking good for Holmes's, and they're one of our better customers, so we'll be happy to get them back online. And our two students had gone to a pole climbing school, spent I think 8 days there, and come back with very high passing grades, so we're pretty proud of them. That's all I have.
Question of Larry.
I have a comment.
Okay.
The electric department, during routine maintenance, was able to observe the service line to my house rubbing on my garage roof.
Right.
And apparently it was so bad that it could have started a fire, so I appreciate their catch.
Right.
And they did a great job of repairing it. And
we tried to go around when we were driving around town to look at different things like this. So that's and Ron has got one of the most Hawkeyes that anybody ever seen when it comes to noticing things like that. So
I appreciate that. My garage appreciates it.
I say I will pass that on.
So much for job security.
You can call him out of a job.
You said you ignore those then?
No.
Any other questions of Larry? Thank you, Larry. Kelly?
Still working on sign replacement for our compliance issue we have with that. We had to wait for some brackets to come in before we could continue that, but they're in the house. We're going to keep doing that. We're working on lift stations, helping clean with the jet machine. One of Mike's guys, and kind of postpone that this week for some other things they were doing, but we'll get back on that next week and finish cleaning lift stations for them. Started mowing some of our city easements that we have. We have a bush hog and a tractor that one of our guys usually mows the easements and a couple city lots that we have. Limb pickup was this week. It is done now. They had 8 loads, and I do think that we shaved at least a day off for being out of the alley, so and we haven't had any issues with the machine, so I think that's a plus. 50-50 sidewalks, we had a couple applicants on that I met with, and we
Question of Kelly. Okay. Thank you, Kelly. Mark.
I've done a lot of mowing, kind of a weekly thing for us now. Remove some graffiti, and we do fields every day for games at night, for baseball and softball games. We had a scoreboard go out on the high school varsity field just a week ago. It was working great up until that point. So we need to look into replacing the scoreboard. So see if we can make that happen sometime. Baseball and softball is definitely underway. Opening day was last Saturday. It was a big event. I don't know how many people were there, but it was a lot. seemed like all the vendors did very well, and just heard a lot of positive things. So really, I guess my hat's off to all the baseball and softball committee members. They did a great job planning and organizing this, and I've had good communication during the event, and just went off really well. Our pool was inspected Monday by HWC Engineering and their team that they put together. They had five or six people here for about 3 hours inspecting our pool. I hopefully have something back from them here in 2 or 3 weeks, is what they told me, to present to the park board with some information about what they found. Based on the conversations that I had that day, I know that they were very surprised at the condition of the pool, not because it was good. Some of the comments more than likely were, I'm just going to guess that they would lean more toward bigger, doing, having to do some major big things to the pool. So I'll know more here in a few weeks. Share that with you. DeVol Field, I think it was sprayed yesterday by James Wygent, and in hopes to be putting our field down there soon. He'll be disking that up once it's dead, the grass is dead, and putting in drainage and grading that so that we can put a new field in. If you happen to go to the park for any reason, for baseball or softball, you'll know that we need more field space. We have 66 teams right now that want to practice, and six fields for them to play on. So it gets tough. So this will help a lot if we get this field put in. Not going to promise that that would be finished this year, but we'll definitely do our part to try to get it seeded and start working on getting something there for them soon. The splash pad, just wanted to comment, that's going to open Memorial Day weekend, just in case people were asking about that. Our hours are 12 to 8 for the splash pad.
I apologize, I may have zoned out, but did you say something about the mother-son?
Oh, no, event? We had that
okay.
A couple weeks ago at Pages Crossing. It went really well. I think that the comments that I heard were all very positive. We had around 80 people there total. So it wasn't as big as the father-daughter event. Mm-hmm. But still, I think it was a neat night, and I think it's something we can build on. So, yeah, it's a good night for us.
I was going to say, the first time that we had a father-daughter dance I know that we've grown every year, but what?
It wasn't a sellout the first year.
Yeah. Like I said, I know we've grown over the years, so I would assume that this could be an event that we would continue to grow off of in the future. So, yeah. I think, Mark, you said you had to run to the store three times on Saturday because you ran out of stuff.
I went to Walmart three times.
So it was a good day for the concession stand, which you all know is close to my heart. So. Question to Mark.
No, if you guys missed Saturday, you missed something pretty cool because it was an awesome day for the kids. If you ever watched the kids walk through the parade, the little ones, they just stick their chest out. They're pretty proud. People are clapping for them. It's a pretty awesome moment for those kids. And like I say, they did a wonderful job running it. Mayor threw a strike.
That was a little outside, yeah.
That's close enough. It is the mayor.
They didn't call in the lefty from the 10, so we're good.
But it was a great, great day.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mark. Tim.
I'm sure everyone's aware we had a major crash on US 30 with some semis where the highway was shut down for many, many hours. Our officers did a good job out there with what they had. It was whenever you reroute US 30 traffic, it's an issue. But it went well, and we had help from a lot of other departments, including the fire department, sheriff's department, state police. The list goes on and on and on. But everybody worked together out there and got that taken care of, but it was quite a mess. We've had our first precision and accuracy firearms training this year. It's a kind of new thing we're doing. And I think most of the officers enjoyed it. It was fun. It was also a good training. We're going to try to do that multiple times this year, just for something different. And I think it's a good firearms training. This week, Detective Stevenson spent some time at the high school. He teaches to some health classes there and talks to them about drug awareness and dangers of illegal drugs. And Officer Hunter this week taught a bicycle safety program at Murray Raber. They have students ride their bikes to school, and I think they have about 150 students that rode their bikes to school. And then he taught bicycle safety during the gym classes. So that went really well. He was there all day. I want to thank him for doing that. The last thing is our department has purchased new firearms, new duty weapons. And our current sidearms are going on 8 years old, and we're starting to have some maintenance issues with them and things like that. So it was time to look into getting new ones. It worked out well. We used a purchase order actually from last year's budget to purchase them. So we're going to trade in the ones that we have now and get new guns, new magazines, and we're able to also get a year's worth of ammunition with that money from last year's budget as well. So
appreciate the work that you and Rosie did on that. I know that was a really big deal. And for really no cost, I mean, you know, for all intents and purposes, not much cost for this year's budget to change out the total firearm and ammunition cycles that we have here. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think that's a pretty good point to make, that if I'm not mistaken, we were able to replace all of the duty sidearms from the department with new ones for about the same price that it would have been to do maintenance on the existing ones. Is that correct?
Yeah. Plus, the original purchase order was to get ammunition for the guns that we have now. That ammunition was discontinued, so we could not purchase those with the purchase order from last year. So we did some research, and with the traded value and a year's worth of ammunition plus practice and duty ammunition, we were able to do all that with very little cost from this year's budget at all. Be able to use the purchase order from last year to get all that done.
Not only is that from the councilman's standpoint, I think that was a great fiscal decision to make. And from the policeman's standpoint, I think that was a good, and will prove to be shown to be a good tactical decision in the long run.
I think it worked out well for us, and what we can do is we can purchase more ammunition that way to do more of our training and practicing. So I think it's going to work out good.
I think in the long run, if I remember what you told me, Tim, was in the long run the ammunition is much cheaper than what the ammunition for your current guns.
Yes.
The current guns. So long run wise, it's also, I mean, it's really is a win-win deal, and I'm just really pleased with how that's gone. So it's not a win for the bad guys, but it's a win for us.
What he's trying to tell you is you can cut his budget in half.
Well, okay. Other questions of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. Marcia.
Well, since you're always upset I don't have anything, I'm just going to announce that I'm going to be waddling my way through the turtle trot at Mary Lee this weekend.
Oh.
So I have no city business, but...
How long is the turtle
it's
trot?
It's only a 5K. Okay. I'm sort of hoping not to have to announce that.
Okay. That's still good. 5K's still good.
I have no city business.
Rosie.
I just really appreciated going yesterday to that meeting, and just right, I think the conversation on the way home was just really valuable, and it seems like the networking is as much as the actual meetings in some situations, but I appreciate that. Okay, thank you, Rosie, again.
A couple of things I wanted to let you know about. First of all, I wanted to thank Nicole for allowing me to come to the Eagle Glen Association meeting. That was interesting and it was pretty good. Got to network a little bit. There was also some interesting discussion there, so appreciated that. Also wanted to let you know that we have chosen our inaugural, if you will, Columbia City Youth Council. And letters went out yesterday for those individuals who were selected as well as those individuals who were not selected. We had a wonderful group, and I think Nicole can attest to this because she was on with one of the members. Kelly was also on the selection panel, and we had some really good individuals. Basically the application was, just so you're informed, teacher's recommendation form. It also had basically a one-page essay as to, you know, where is Columbia City in the future, or what do you see for the future of Columbia City? And had some kids that were just really in tune with what's happening. I mean, very in tune, surprisingly. Really all the applications were good, but we had to narrow down from 19 to 9. So,
well, I think part of it was they were all good and all had good ideas, but one of the things you wanted to do was focus on city stuff, and yep. Some of them focused more on like high school stuff.
High school stuff, yeah. But still, I mean, yeah, and you're right, Nicole. And Kelly, I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, but it was.
Their visions were interesting. You know, what they had in vision for the town, for businesses, for drawing business in. Just a wide variety of things, you know, that was just interesting to read about and see what they had in mind, and it was neat.
The other thing I wanted to mention was we had the Redevelopment Commission had a strategic planning session with a professor from IPFW, as well as Alan Teo, and Lori was there, Lori Shipman, and I thought it went very well. Ben, I don't know if you want to. Probably we're going to comment on that, and I saw your thunder. I apologize, sure. But so I won't say much more about that. So Ben can, but it I really thought it was very productive and very good at goal setting for the future. So besides that, I don't think I have anything else. Dan,
Just Tuesday on Election Day, we met with EDC, trying to plan with all the communities, trying to figure out, you know, where the direction of the EDC should be going, and we had a great conversation with that as well for a couple hours, imagining where that's going to go in the future for all of us.
I will second what Ryan said. I think the redevelopment meeting was a lot of good discussion came out of that. We'll probably elaborate on that and get some firm ideas put down.
Nothing? Bill?
What was?
Oh, I apologize, yes. Well, she was here and then she had to leave. Did she say something to you? Teresa?
She was only here to find out if we had any questions or if anything came up this evening that she may need to answer. She just wants this to go smoothly. She had inquired on who was in charge of electric again, and I told her Larry, and then barricades with Kelly. And just a few minor things that she was inquiring of names and phone numbers, and I gave those to her. And
okay. Well, yeah, and just to let you know, they are projecting a higher estimate of individuals coming in for the mayor's ride than what they originally projected. So I think we're actually didn't. Isn't that what she said?
Yes.
And, yeah. Okay.
Don't
scare me like that. but we actually have discussed maybe closing off more of Van Buren Street from Line to Walnut to incorporate again additional space for that ride. So it's going to be a big deal on June 3rd, that Sunday.
What kind of numbers are we talking about?
I'm sorry. What?
I'm sorry. What kind of numbers are we talking about?
Well, originally the original estimate for bikers was something around 1,200, but she made it sound like it was going to be couple additional hundred is what I heard, at least.
Yeah, I think bikes now could be maybe around 2,000 possibly, and overall people downtown, you know, could be like maybe 5,000 to 6,000 people.
Did we notify, or was there any notification to the like the eatery type places that this was going to happen?
Yes, the Downtown Business Association. They actually have been. They've actually spoken with them at two different meetings that I can remember. And I don't, were, Jeff, did you go to the last Business Association meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Were they? Was Teresa there at that one?
She was not.
Okay. Well, I know they've been working with the Business Association. I know that at least Northside will be open, Elks will be open, Eagles will be open. I don't know about Steve Hostetler at CC Deli. I think Hazley's is going to be open. So in that way, we'll have eateries in the downtown open. We'll also have groups that will be downtown serving multiple things. I think the fire and the police may actually be serving something down there as a fundraiser for them. So I think we're going to have enough food and drink for people to go around. It should be a very interesting day, kind of a hectic day for the police department, I'm sure, especially for their day shift workers and second shift workers. But I know you're bringing in, are you bringing in the reserves for that too?
Yes.
Okay. So, but again, the communities that we've talked to in the past, Decatur said there was really no problems and that they basically police themselves. They have events for kids and obviously for the adults. Everybody I talked to says it's a really cool event. So,
are you going to be on the bike?
I will be in a sidecar. that is yes, I will be in a sidecar. When given the choice, that was my decision. So, yeah, that answered your question.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we were able to, for lack of a better term, well, the city benefited from that as the city businesses benefited from that as much as possible.
Yep.
Got glasses and a leather hat.
I'm going to need to find some protection for the ride over, yes, but...
We've got a couple helmets in mind. Tim's going to try.
Oh, that's good. If I add that to the armored kilt that Bill and I have been talking about. Yes, Mike?
I just want to add, we got results back. He does not have his license yet, but Kyle took his state exam 2 weeks ago. And he passed his exam, so my whole staff is certified now.
Wonderful.
We don't have it in the mail, but we did look it up online, and he did pass.
Okay. Well, congratulations to Kyle.
We're happy with that.
That's a big deal. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, question from the press? Mm-hmm. No? Okay. Well, then, if there's nothing else, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know what.